Here's Chris Johnston, our TSN hockey insider. Where are you at here with the Chychrun rumors that have been ongoing since the Middle Ages?
It's not even rumors. It's a saga now, CJ.
It's a saga. I mean, he asked for a trade, I think, about 10 games into last season. And so it's been a long time hearing his name out there, you know, probably getting his hopes up at times that maybe something was going to happen and hasn't. I think, you know, he does bear some responsibility, too, in addition to what you're saying, Hayes, because, you know, I think the team has tried to work with him to only potentially trade him to certain places. You know, I don't know that he wants to just go anywhere else. It's not like he wants to play on any one of the other 31 teams. And so I think that might have complicated some stuff early on. You know, that's more of a last year kind of issue. But, you know, I think it would be best for all involved if they can find a way to resolve this here before March 3rd, because obviously he wants to do something new. And I think that the Coyotes are probably in a spot where they need to move on to and, you know, focus on what they're doing.
CJ, was I correct in kind of quoting the parameters of what I believe, or do you know kind of what the parameters of the trade is or the ask? Is it two first rounders or something like that type of situation? I'm not sure if you're privy to it or can share it with us.
Yeah, I think it's two first rounders, you know, plus another, you know, prospect or another piece as well.
No.
You know, and the thinking is, you know, Nils Lundqvist was traded from the Rangers to Dallas in training camp. I don't remember the exact term, but it was a first plus, I think. And you know, in this case, you're getting a bona fide player that, you know, in Lundqvist's case, you know, well thought of prospect and has started to play this year in Dallas. But, you know, I think there's more of a known quantity what you're getting in Chychrun. And of course, just the fact that, you know, if you traded for him today, you'd have him potentially for three playoff runs.
CJ, what about the idea of just making a deal? I like to ask for things too, but I don't get them. I wanted to go to the waste management as our show, but we didn't go. So tough, you know what, for us. It just doesn't make sense to say, oh yeah, we're asking for two first. It's a year and a bit, and it doesn't make sense for the player or the organization to just hang on to them. I think the whole situation's been nonsense.
Well, I get where you're coming from, for sure. I think that if you're managing the asset in this case and you're making decisions for the Coyotes, you're thinking we don't have to trade him at this deadline because he's still going to have value next year when he's got, you know, 2 years.
Yeah, but how much quality are you going to get out of the player, Chris? Like, the guy's like, I'm still here, really? Like, it's crazy business to me.
Well, and look, they're a team that's not trying to win in the short term, so stuff like this goes on. I mean, it'd be a totally different conversation if someone's asking out of a team that was trying to make the playoffs, right? Because you wouldn't necessarily want someone like that around your group. You'd probably want it expedited. But, you know, the Coyotes are punting not just on this year, but the next couple. And so, you know, I think that creates a little bit of the dynamic that's there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree. What if they get Bedard? Are they still going to punt on the next couple?
Well, that'll probably change things, won't it?
I would hope.
Well, yeah. I mean, you'd have to spend some money or do something to surround him with players that you want him to at least learn from, mentorship, that type of stuff. I mean, I think you adjust your plan if you get a generational player as opposed to, you know, a guy who's really good.
Let me rephrase the question. Do you think there's any possibility of an Eric Lindros situation with Bedard?
I don't know. That's a tough one. I mean, I don't know the kid personally. I haven't heard anything like that. You know, he seems like a really good kid from a good family. I'm not saying Eric wasn't, but it, you know, you need really specific circumstances for someone to take that kind of stand. You know, I haven't heard anything like that in the air or don't have any reason to believe that could happen. You know, the flip side of it, if the Coyotes go ahead and build this arena, which, you know, they're one step away from doing it, is
sure they are. I don't.
I don't. Well, I mean, look, they have the funding in place. It's down to a vote of the citizens in May. But, you know, if that happens, it's not crazy. You know, there was a time I remember when the Lightning were a bit of a laughing stock as an organization, and now it's one of the top places players want to play. I think Arizona could actually get to that point. I know it sounds, because it's been such an ordeal for that organization, but if they build the proper rink and the way it looks, and they turn things around with this rebuild and actually you know, stockpile of players. I mean, who wouldn't want to play in a tax-friendly, nice weather place if you felt like you had a chance to win?
CJ, I totally agree with that sentiment. What I don't understand was, what the hell was the last rink that they built? Like, who built that? Where? Why did they put it there? And why was that just to end up being a waste of time?
I think they got a deal
cheap
on the land.
Cheap land.
My memory.
My God.
But the problem is they didn't build it anywhere near Phoenix. I mean, at least Tempe, you know, where they, the idea now is it's closer to a place where their fans live, where players are going to want to be. I actually do believe I don't think it's crazy. If shovels go in the ground and they're building that rink, I actually think that they're not as far off getting to finally where they want to be. Quite honestly, I think that with the right owner and the right situation there and, you know, that could be like, why wouldn't you want to play there?
There's no doubt about it, CJ. Yep. It could be Tampa West. It's got the weather. You could tee it into some of the best places in the world. But you gotta fix all of this mess.
Well, you gotta
build it
in the right spot.
That's what Billy's trying to do. Yeah,
that's what it is. I mean, you can think of it, and respectfully, I mean, Ottawa in Canada, that's a ways out. Florida Panthers in Sunrise, that's a ways out from densely populated areas. And then Arizona in, what was it, Glendale or wherever the hell that was, way out there, like that. That was in the wrong spot. If you put the rinks in the right spot in these respective cities, they're going to be fine. Like Florida, I played in Florida. I'm in Ottawa all the time. Ottawa's talking about Sale and LeBreton Flats. Get down there, build a rink in a real high, densely populated area. Florida, you guys have been there. That rink rink is awesome.
You got to win, though.
Way the
right?
hell out there. Yeah.
You have to win.
I honestly left a small piece of my soul on one of the shuttle buses during the All-Star weekend, just going back and forth out to that rink in the middle of nowhere.
Yes.
Yeah. Insanity.
It is. But they used to have the rink, and I know it was gritty, but when the rats were around and when it was in Miami, it was in a gritty area, but they were ramming it in there every night because you get walk up. You get people that are like, oh, the hockey game's playing at 7 o'clock. Go up and buy a ticket. Like, you have to make a trek out to Sunrise. It's an actual special trip to get out there to watch a hockey game on a Tuesday night against a non-division opponent. Like, that's a commitment as opposed to it being in a highly dense area.
That's why, like, Vegas got it right. They knew, they're like, we got to be on the strip. We have to be right there on the strip. We can't expect people to leave the Felt to take a half an hour trip to the desert and, you know, possibly be a success long term. With Chris Johnston, you mentioned Ottawa, and I think you were reporting, CJ, that they could be looking at upwards of $800 million for that team. I mean, and is Ryan Reynolds still, like, actually involved in this, or where does that stand?
Well, I think he's a little bit on the sidelines, so to speak, because, you know, there's so many groups that are jockeying to get involved or are involved. They're making their pitches now. I think, you know, he wants to get on the winning bid. And I guess there's a world too where, you know, one of those, the group that puts it together maybe wouldn't want them. You know, having watched that Wrexham documentary, I mean, you can see the easy crossover there that there's things he can do, but, you know, I don't know how much money he necessarily wants to put in. I think, you know, he wants a piece and in exchange, you know, he's lending his celebrity and the access to a lot of this stuff. So it's sort of TBD whether he's in. I think the league's very interested in having him in, but, you know, we'll see, you know, which group rises to the top and, you know, if they want him to be part of it. But it sounds like they're going to get really good money there. I mean, you got over 15 groups stepping forward. It's sort of like selling a house.
Yeah, that's not bad. That's a lot of possible leverage, for the Melnyk family. And, you know, Bettman spoke recently, and he said one contingency is that anyone buying it, they stay in Ottawa, you know. And we've been critical of Bettman in the past with how he stands behind Arizona, even though it's been a mess. But it does cross the border, you know. Like, he is committed to staying in Ottawa.
Sorry, just cut out for a second there, guys.
Okay, we got you. We're just saying how Bettman is committed to keeping the team in Ottawa. And I've never heard of it being up for debate, though. Have you, CJ? Like, would any of these owners have their eye on Houston or Kansas City or anything like that?
I guess maybe he just wants to quell any ideas before they happen. I mean, part of that, I assume, is political because, you know, they're still trying to keep things moving forward at LeBreton Flats, which is harder to do when you don't have the new ownership in place just yet. And I think he wants to be sending the right messages and to be very clear that whoever's buying the team is going to be assuming that project. But no, I haven't heard anything credible about that. I suppose we all might have wondered about it, you know, when news of Eugene Melnyk's death, you know, happened nearly a year ago now. Yeah, I think that there might have been some just, you know, he'd owned the team for so long. He'd been steadfast about holding on to it through, you know, some of his own personal ups and downs financially. You know, there might have been some of those thoughts, but you know, I would say for the last few months here, since it's the team's, you know, gone up for sale and you know, it's clear you have some serious players, you know, getting in on trying to buy them, that I haven't had any reason to think that they'd be moving as part of this sale.
I've always felt, and maybe this is just either wishful thinking or maybe there is something, a bigger plan at place, but I've always felt like the league has had Quebec City just tucked in their back pocket going, if anything goes south here, we can go there pretty quickly. Now, I don't know if that's true or not, and I think it's more wishful thinking. Same thing with the Toronto market, like adding a second team. I know that would cause an uproar here. We've talked about it several times on this show. I kind of think it would be neat just to, the city could house two teams, no problem. But it just, I feel like if something went south with one of these organizations, whether it just didn't work or, you know, maybe they wanted a different plan, it would be easy to just have Quebec City and Toronto. You know, it'd get the support, and you know that they wouldn't fail in these cities. I don't know how you feel about that, CJ. Maybe it's wishful thinking.
No chance it would fail, I don't think. I mean, I guess Quebec, you might have some broader concerns over a period of time if there's enough of a corporate base there to support the team. I mean, we've even seen in Winnipeg, right, in the second version of the Jets, you know, lately they've had trouble selling out. I mean, after some of the initial enthusiasm wears off, and it's just a smaller market to be filling a building and asking the kind of, you know, prices that these teams get for their tickets and their suites. I mean, I do think that there's at least some concern, but I mean, it's a hockey mad place. They've got a great venue. You know, it seems like there's always a couple in the back pocket, right? I mean, Kansas City for years was rumored because they built an NHL style rink, whatever that was, 10, 15 years ago. You know, Hamilton, you know, a little bit before my time, but they built Cops Coliseum, I believe, with an idea of trying to get an NHL team there. Ironically, I think they're going through the Oakview Group is renovating that building, if I'm not mistaken. So maybe they'll get back in the mix at some point. And then, of course, you have Quebec. You know, I guess the league probably has a secret file or folder somewhere, you know, break in case of emergency, because, you know, the situation that led the Thrashers to go back to Winnipeg happened pretty quickly. If you remember, it was largely out of the public eye and wasn't speculated upon. All of a sudden, it was just a thing that was happening. So I'm guessing if you're a sports league, you need a few of those just in case, options on the table.
Yeah, Atlanta was a disaster. Like, we forgot, like, oh, you played in, did you play games against Atlanta, oh? Like, I did.
I was in their division.
Like, the rink was the weirdest layout. You came out of your dressing room and skated on the ice, and it was all luxury boxes on one side. Mm-hmm. Like, it was just the weirdest, like,
it was bad lighting
the
in
whole,
there.
Oh, it was just, awful the whole thing lighting. Was junk. It was just junk.
It was a nightmare.
Never had a good crowd there. Like, never did you go in there saying, this building's rocking. I got three hat tricks in my career. Two of them were in Atlanta, so it's...
Right. Yeah, but amazing. Like, that's a major metropolis in the U.S.
Yeah.
Massive. And even the NHL realized we can't even keep pretending like this is going to get off the ground. You know, like we just, like, because Houston's a massive market. They're not there. But the fact that you're not in Houston or Atlanta, like, those are massive. Those are top 10 markets in the U.S.
You could always push it past dinner in Atlanta. It's like, we can go out to a nice casual place and have drinks until 12:31, and we will still smoke them tomorrow.
Yes. That probably didn't help. They were a terrible team.
And you'll get two hat tricks while doing it, though.
Exactly.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Playing guilty.
Well, it's generally when you played best, or most people anyway, with Chris Johnston. CJ, what about the Leafs practicing tomorrow? What do you have your eyes on tomorrow? What are you waiting to hear from the coach, and is there a player in particular you have your eyes on, more so the injured players prior to the break?
Yeah, I think, you know, where Matt Murray's at will be interesting. As we know from the couple experiences this year, even if, you know, they want to start him, so, you know, they have back-to-backs Friday, Saturday, a home and home with Columbus, even if, you know, Sheldon Keefe comes out on Thursday and says Matt Murray will start on one of those two games. I mean, you're just not sure, because there's been a couple instances where that was due to happen and he wasn't able to go in those games. So I think, you know, for me, he's just a bit of a question mark. I don't see, I mean, who knows? There's still a couple weeks of the deadline, but it's not like they're necessarily in the goalie market, but maybe you have to start thinking about it if you have any reason to believe he can't play. Obviously, he could squelch that. You know, on the Matthews front, I don't know what the update will be, but it's not like he's going to play this weekend or anything like that. I still think he's a little ways off. You know, checked in on that over the break, and, you know, sounds like he's progressing well. No reason for concern, but I think they're also not in a mood to, or of a mind to rush him back.
Right. Did he stay in town to rehab?
That I don't know. I didn't get his travel itinerary. I don't think they could make you stay. I mean, maybe he wanted to stay, but I'm pretty sure, you know, the way the CBA works is it's complete time off.
Yeah, well, I mean, you could get somebody to rehab you wherever you go. I mean, and they're not just going to say, hey, we'll see you in 6 days or 8 days. Like, they're going to make sure he is under the best care possible.
Yeah. I mean, if the first 10 days of your rehab is doing toe touches, then I'm pretty sure he could have done that at home.
Exactly.
Yes. Yeah,
or in Mexico, or, you know, somewhere nice.
Exactly. Yeah, Bahamas. That's probably. Yeah. I don't think social media was on fire. I think he's smart enough to say, if I'm going somewhere, I'll keep it to myself.
Agreed.
But anyway, we'll find out more tomorrow. Thanks, CJ. We appreciate it.
No problem. Be well, guys.
Chris Johnston, our TSN Hockey Insider, joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. Build your next dream Toyota at Maple Toyota and check out Maple Toyota's pre-owned inventory arriving daily. It's time to Toyota. Visit MapleToyota.com. Yeah, you can rehab wherever, but, you know, you better not be jumping off a roof into a pool if you've got a bad knee.
Yeah,
I mean, that's a different level of, you know, having a vacation and having a good time.
Yeah, that's tough. You got a bad knee, can't play, but all of a sudden you're spotted on the dance floor in Vegas
exactly.
Or something. Yeah, you got to be mindful.
You
got to
be careful. You got to be careful.
Straight running man in Mexico.
Yeah.
Would get you in a bunch of trouble.
Huge trouble, man. Huge. And that's why, again, I don't know what he's up to. Who knows? And I'm sure, listen, he's a pro. He's he's going to take care of his body and make sure he's in a good place. But if anyone spotted you, we talked about it with other guys in the past, you know, couldn't play, were injured, but they're skiing, they're doing whatever.
Yeah.
You know, I almost lost my best friend in Mexico. Foam party, and
really?
I don't know what he was thinking. He had a lot of booze in him, but I think he thought that under all the foam was some kind of trampoline or something, and this guy did a swan dive off of a speaker, and it was a marble floor.
Oh my god.
it was a horrific scene. I thought he was dead. But he popped up and he kept trucking, man.
Well, usually when you're hammered, your body's limber, right? How many times have you seen videos on the internet? A guy like falls out of the second story, he's hammered, and like bounces off the ground.
But I just remember my flip flops were like around the floor, and he was up on this speaker or ledge or something for quite some time, and he thought it was some kind of spongy floor, and it was a mess. It was a tough scene.
That would be.
Could have gone south.
That you knock teeth out, break your face, anything. And then and guess what? Down there, that foam party is not stopping.
No,
because
they'll shovel you out of there.
They will shovel you out. You got to move, man. You're causing a scene here.
Exactly.
You have to leave. You're right, though, man. It's like Gumby. Like, you booze enough, you can fall. And you see some weird videos of people falling and having to get up. We talked about that last week with you, Noodles.
Yes.
And
I had to get up for sure. That was it. Didn't matter the amount of pain.
People jump into a lake that they think is either thin ice or water, and it's just pure thick ice.
Yeah.
And there's a video of a woman that does that. I think she believes she will fall through the ice.
Oh.
And she doesn't, and it's like a cannonball.
Yeah.
It's so pain, and it's loud. Like, you can hear her body just breaking. It's really not good.
Yeah.
Really not good. Mark Kastetcher will join us. He was in L.A. last night, calling history. LeBron passing the record, breaking the record, setting a new record. And it was quite the scene last night in L.A. So we'll catch up with Mark, Steve Sands in about an hour. We got golf picks for the waste management, but role play level of concern is next.